KOMO Seattle.
KOMO FM Oakville.
20 minutes of nonstop news starts now.
Coming up on KOMO, how will Washington keep up on vaccinations? I'm Brian Calvert, and the key is likely in the private sector.
But first to ABC News, KOMO News Time, 12 o'clock.
From ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The show of force in Washington, D.C. ahead of Joe Biden's inauguration growing. 25,000 National Guard members will help secure the U.S. Capitol and streets. That as threats grow in the wake of last week's deadly siege by a mob of Trump supporters. Federal prosecutors have opened 98 criminal cases. In a phone briefing, a Sean Benedict, special agent in charge of the ATF's Washington Field Division, said agents are still tracking down individuals connected to explosives found on the Capitol grounds.
We are jointly investigating the pipe bombs and the Molotov cocktails with the FBI and the U.S. Capitol Police, and that investigation is currently ongoing.
There's another investigation into the possible planning, aiding, and abetting from within the Capitol building.
Capitol Police confirmed they're investigating the tours after nearly three dozen congressional Democrats said they witnessed an extremely high number of outside groups in the complex on January 5th. The FBI's Stephen D'Antuono suggested federal agents are investigating, too.
We're looking at every piece of this puzzle.
The House Democrats said the tours were a noticeable and concerning departure from pandemic procedures that had limited visitors. Some on the tours, the Democrats said, appeared to be associated with the Trump rally that preceded the riot. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
States across the country also preparing for protests nationwide this weekend. Health officials say vaccine distribution is being stepped up, and the federal government will work to coordinate better with states to get those shots in the arms of Americans. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker today says pharmacy chains like Walgreens and CVS will also play a big role.
Our pharmacy vaccinations will be by an online appointment only. So please don't try to line up at the store or try to call your local pharmacy now.
He says increased access will be expanded later this month after they get the sites and the doses needed to set up and meet the demand. You're listening to ABC News.
Stay connected. Stay informed. KOMO Midday.
Good afternoon. Happy Friday. KOMO News Time 12:02. I'm Taylor Van Sice with our top stories from the KOMO 24/7 News Center. A suspect is in custody after an incident in Lakewood during which an officer had to fire a shot. We're told it happened this morning on Lincoln Avenue Southwest, where the officer fired just one shot. Nobody injured. A suspect is in custody. The State Health Department is reporting 38 more deaths from COVID-19, as well as 2,729 new positive tests in the last 24 hours. As KOMO's Brian Calvert reports, any hope of lowering those numbers now hinges on how fast the state can get 70% of us vaccinated.
That's the number from science. When we achieve a 70% vaccination rate statewide, the virus's chance of spreading falls off the charts. Yet 70% is a big number, and right now we're at least 7 months away from that. State COVID vaccine director Sheehan Allen says Washington is currently administering 15,000 to 20,000 vaccine doses daily. It's impressive, but to reach 70%, that number needs to be about 45,000 a day. To get there, you're going to have to start seeing more pop-up vaccination clinics, but all involved say the private sector is going to have to play a key role. Workplace vaccinations, as well as community group locations, even churches, all will need to get on board if the state expects to significantly advance vaccination numbers. The State Health Department agrees, yep, this is necessary, but at this point, there are no plans to expand this far until Phase 3, or March at the earliest. Brian Calvert, KOMO News.
States began preparing earlier this week for extra shipments of COVID vaccine because the Secretary of Health and Human Services promised to release all those doses that were holding in reserve. KOMO's Charlie Harger tells us that, as it turns out, there were no doses in reserve.
Secretary Alex Azar earlier this week.
We are releasing the entire supply we have for order by states, rather than holding second doses in physical reserve.
The Washington Post reports now there was no physical reserve. So all the state health departments around the country that have been planning for expanded vaccinations now have no extra vaccine to give out. In a tweet, the Washington State Health Department says they understand why people may feel the situation is confusing and frustrating. Oregon Governor Kate Brown calls it a deception on a national scale. Charlie Harger, KOMO News.
Coming up on KOMO.
Selling things online to make some extra cash? I'm Manda Factor with a warning from the BBB.
But first at 12:04, it's time for an update on KOMO traffic from the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center. How are things looking?
Still looking mostly good on the roadways right now. An accident's been cleared off to the shoulder in Tukwila, northbound 5 approaching South Center Parkway. Still seeing a little bit of hesitation in the immediate area. That was just blocking the right lane just a few minutes ago. In Seattle, an accident's cleared off to the left shoulder on northbound 5 approaching the West Seattle Bridge. A little bit of hesitation in the immediate area there. Road work on both directions of I-90 and Issaquah near Highway 900. The right lane in both directions closed in that area. Traction tires are advised over White Pass and Stevens Pass, and the Sunder North Lane canceled until Monday. Our next report is at 12:14. I'm Evan Smith, Como Traffic.
Our Como forecast now, and let's check in with meteorologist Kristen Clark.
The early morning showers, a long but distant memory by now, with a lot of areas in the sun for this afternoon, the exception being Central Sound, anywhere from Bremerton, Poulsbo, Brennan area, east into Seattle, south through Tacoma. Those are the areas that maybe could make out with pockets of light drizzle between now and this evening. But all areas will see drier weather tonight. Some partial clearing will lead to pockets of fog again tomorrow morning, with an increase in the clouds once again Saturday afternoon, right out ahead of more light showers that arrive late Saturday night into early Sunday. Those wrap up quickly, though, for a little period of sun to finish off the weekend Sunday afternoon. And the Como Weather Center meteorologist Kristen Clark.
Really a spectacular afternoon, or at least start to the afternoon. We'll see how the rest of the day finishes up. But right now, just some sunshine overhead, and it's 50 degrees. Como News Time, 12:06. President-elect Joe Biden unveiled a $1.9 trillion plan to help the country bounce back from the pandemic last night. We're getting some reaction from state lawmakers. Como's Cole Miller with that.
It's a lot of money. That price tag is sure to have people talking. Both Biden and one of our local congressional members are citing economists and say that there will be dire consequences if that plan does not become reality. And it is sweeping, covering everything from the federal minimum wage to vaccine distribution.
We have to act, and we have to act now.
With its nearly $2 trillion price tag, it would offer at least some relief in a number of ways. First, another round of those stimulus checks, this time $1,400. Biden also calling for expanded unemployment benefits, $400 a week through the end of September. The plan would also boost the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour and includes billions for COVID-19 testing and vaccination.
The vaccine rollout in the United States has been a dismal failure thus far.
Biden hoping to see 100 million doses given in his first 100 days. It is a lofty goal, and the plan itself incredibly expensive. But some say it's what's needed to get the U.S. back on its feet.
Most economists argue that more is required to just beat back this virus and to help our economy get off the ground.
In a statement, Representative Susan DelBene said Americans need additional aid and stimulus as our nation continues to combat the COVID-19 pandemic and ensuing economic crisis.
That's Como's Cole Miller reporting. With the turmoil created by the pandemic, the U.S. Capitol riot, and the impending departure of Donald Trump as president, people already worn down by COVID-19 fatigue are feeling even more anxious. Como's Suzanne Fawn talked to an expert about when to seek professional help.
Tons and tons of calls I've been getting from people seeking treatment for the very first time.
Clinical psychologist Dr. Mylene Duong is among the mental health providers inundated with patients seeking treatment.
The level of calls that I get from people seeking treatment is more than I've ever seen in my entire career.
For some people, the social isolation and the stresses of living with COVID-19 have been a huge factor. And now, seeing what's happening in the news, in our nation's capital, and our own capital, is compounding the stress and uncertainty for some people.
Como Suzanne Fawn, and the state capital remains on high alert. Right now, the Capitol building and nearby offices are surrounded by a fence lined with state troopers and National Guard members. It comes as the FBI warns of credible threats to all 50 state capitals between now and Inauguration Day. Trooper Chelsea Hodgson with the Washington State Patrol says they're ready for any possible threat.
We are aware of recent general threats made by specific groups and individuals that would potentially disrupt operations here and at capitals across the nation. So we're being prepared just in case.
She says they haven't heard of any specific threat in Olympia. The fence and guards will stay in place until at least next Wednesday. A federal judge in Seattle says she will rule soon on whether Amazon's web services will have to restore the social media site Parler to its servers. Amazon banned Parler in response to allegations that the site was used to organize last week's attack on the U.S. Capitol. Parler's attorneys complain that Amazon's action effectively killed their business. The Seattle Times reports they're asking the judge for an injunction forcing Amazon to restore their service. Are you turning to the internet to make a little extra scratch during the pandemic? Como's Manufacturer has a warning about selling your possessions online.
The Better Business Bureau reports a number of what they call overpayment scams. The buyer will claim they want to cover shipping or other fees because you've been such a great seller.
Once you've been overpaid, though, the scammer is going to ask for their money, ask for their funds back. They'll return your money, or you'll return their money, but afterward, you'll find that that initial payment was truly false. So the buyer's online payment is going to be denied.
Then you're out the money and your item. Ben Spradling with the BBB has some simple advice.
Don't ship an item before you receive a payment. If you ship before they pay, you will have no way to get your item back.
And if you do fall for a scam, connect directly with the platform you use to let them know what happened. Manufacturer, Como News.
Como News Time, 1210. Time for an update on sports from the Beacon Plumbing Sports Desk. Here's Eric Hines.
The Seahawks continue to look for the team's next offensive coordinator. The NFL Network reports former Charger head coach Anthony Lynn has spoken to Seahawks head coach Pete Carroll about the open job. Lynn says he's not decided what he wants to do next season. Round two of the NFL playoffs is this weekend. Two games tomorrow. First, the Rams visit the Packers. Rams quarterback Jared Goff says his thumb, which he had surgery on less than 3 weeks ago, is improving.
You have surgery on an important part of your hand and just getting comfortable with it. It's just every day it gets better. Every day I feel better. Every day it gets a little bit more comfortable and continues to feel much better.
That game is followed by Buffalo hosting Baltimore. Sunday it's Cleveland at Kansas City, while New Orleans will host Tampa Bay. Seahawks Vice President Scott Fitterer is now the new general manager of the Carolina Panthers. He spent the last 19 years in Seattle. Corey Kispert scored 23 points and grabbed 8 rebounds as top-ranked and undefeated Gonzaga beat Pepperdine last night 95-70. And the Washington Huskies lost to USC 95-68. Sports at 10 and 40 minutes past the hour. I'm Eric Heintz, Como News.
The CDC is out with new details on the distribution of the coronavirus vaccine. The health agency saying that over 1.3 million Americans have already received both doses. Meanwhile, the number of COVID-19 cases and deaths continues to spike.
Desperation as America hits its darkest milestone yet. The death toll 25% higher this week than any other week since the pandemic began. In L.A. County, a person is dying every 6 minutes. Ambulances gridlocked outside ERs. And access to that life-saving vaccine can't come fast enough. Overnight, hundreds lining up, hoping for a surplus shot. Staff desperate not to waste precious unused doses.
How do you give vaccine to all these people?
Yeah.
It's never happened before.
How desperate are you to try to get one?
I'll come back tomorrow if I don't get it today.
And in New York City, hospitals are now warning they're facing a shortage of shots. That fear triggering this mad rush in Brooklyn. And all because this message went viral, falsely telling people there were more than 400 surplus doses at an army terminal. 30 million vaccine doses have been distributed nationwide, but so far only 11 million first doses administered, and some people going to extremes to get the shot.
Come back in an hour, sir, okay?
Residents across America, even Canada and Argentina, flocking to Florida, where anyone 65 years and older, even those from out of state, is eligible for a dose, leading to what some are calling vaccine tourism. People coming in to get the shot, then heading back to their home state.
We are discouraging people to come to Florida just to get a vaccine.
But with so many spending their winters in the state, Governor DeSantis says it makes sense to get as many people there vaccinated as possible, even if they don't live there permanently. Shelton Papel, a 67-year-old from Canada, and his wife Karen came to Florida in November. They're now signed up to get the vaccine later this month.
There's been so much death and hardship and anguish around the world, not just the United States, but we're just one part of the cog in the wheel.
And one of the things that's most complicating the distribution and administration of the vaccine is that each state seems to have its own criteria.
ABC's Matt Gutman. A congressman who was holed up in the Capitol last week says he's also contracted COVID-19 after already being vaccinated. How does it happen? Here's ABC's Jerry Preston.
New York Congressman Adriano Espaillat says he has tested positive for the coronavirus even after receiving his second dose of the Pfizer vaccine. ABC News medical contributor Dr. Alok Patel says about 10 days after the first shot, you've got about 50% protection, and a week after the second shot, you have about 95% protection.
So it's possible this congressman got COVID-19 in this small window, possibly got an asymptomatic infection. We just need to learn more.
The current COVID vaccines were developed to prevent symptomatic COVID infections. They're still learning more about asymptomatic spread. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Como News Time, 1214. Time for an update on traffic from the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center. Here's Evan.
Still seeing an issue on a northbound of 5 on the on-ramp from 188th, a disabled vehicle partially blocking the ramp, mostly off to the shoulder, causing a little bit of hesitation in the immediate area right there. Meanwhile, in Seattle next, and off to the left shoulder, still on northbound 5, approaching the West Seattle Bridge area. That's causing some hesitation back to the Alboro Curve, but it's not too bad at this time. Both directions of I-90 right now in Issaquah, seeing a bit of road work in the right lane at near Highway 900. Traction tires advised over White and Stevens Pass, and the Sounder Northland canceled until Monday due to landslide danger. Our next report is at 12:24. I'm Evan Smith, Como Traffic.
Our Como forecast now, and the weekend weather ahead of us doesn't look quite as nice as what we're seeing right now. There's a chance of rain coming up tomorrow night and another chance of rain Sunday morning. But tomorrow during our daylight hours and then Sunday by dinner time, we should have some dry weather. Looks like that could continue into Monday on ML King Day as well. For the rest of today, enjoy the mostly clear skies, and we're sitting in the low 50s across the board. 51 right now in Seattle.
Stay connected. Stay informed. The Northwest's only 24-hour news station. Como News 1000, FM 97.7.
Bill O'Neill at the editor's desk. I'm Taylor Van Sice. Among the headlines we're following this hour, the pandemic reaching another grim milestone, as Johns Hopkins University researchers say that as of today, more than 2 million people have died from the virus worldwide. And President Trump expected to leave the White House on Wednesday morning before Joe Biden is sworn in. The president will reportedly use his last flight aboard Air Force One to travel to his Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida. The Departments of Justice, Defense, Interior, and Homeland Security all under investigation now over the way that they prepared for and responded to the January 6th Trump rally, which, as you know, ended with an attack on the Capitol and several people died. Reporting on these investigations in the Washington Post is Devlin Barrett, who joins us on the Como Newsline. Devlin, good afternoon.
Hey, Taylor. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. But with so many departments and jurisdictions involved, who's handling these investigations?
The investigations are being done by each agency's inspector general. The inspector generals are sort of internal watchdogs, and they can, you know, take looks at emails, they can interview people, and they can try to create a full picture of exactly what happened and what was shared and what wasn't.
The threats, you know, weren't a secret, like you write. And during the attack, I was on the phone with your Washington Post colleague, Drew Harwell, because his report on the online threats, already a day old at the point that the Capitol was broken into. From your reporting, have you learned how early the FBI knew of the threats?
Well, we know of one particular warning that was very explicit, and that came a day before. And we're told that, you know, on Tuesday, on the day before, the FBI office in Norfolk sent a very explicit warning saying there are people talking online about breaking windows, knocking down doors, and, you know, maybe killing people. And that report made its way to FBI officials in Washington, but it doesn't seem to have changed anyone's posture or preparation, and that's a big subject of the investigation.
At the very least, like you reported this week, dozens of people who were on the terrorist screening database had gathered for that rally. How is that watch list supposed to work?
Well, it's not really supposed to bar people from going anywhere. It's not like the no-fly list, which is supposed to keep you off of planes entirely. This is more a sort of a collection of data so that the government can keep tabs on people they are worried about as possible security risks and know when they've traveled somewhere. So it should be helpful in situations like this. I think one of the questions that's going to be looked at as this investigation goes forward is, could more have been done with that kind of information before the event as opposed to afterward to try to put the pieces together?
When we do kind of, you know, after action research on things like Pearl Harbor or 9/11, we've often learned that, you know, the information was out there. It was gathered, just maybe not analyzed or communicated like we would hope. How much of the investigation is going to come down to simply just sharing the intel?
So it's what some folks in law enforcement call an intelligence failure. Other folks in law enforcement argue it's actually a failure to act on the intelligence you have. What I've gleaned from my conversations with a bunch of officials so far is that they really thought of this primarily as a political event. They, even with all this online chatter, even with these internal reports and warnings, they still kept thinking of this as just a political rally. And that seems to have been the real critical misjudgment in this process.
Devlin Barrett with us on Como News, national security reporter for The Washington Post. And you can always read his coverage online at WashingtonPost.com. Devlin, thank you.
Thanks for having me, Taylor.
Como News Time 12:19. North Korea apparently playing another game of show and tell, as we hear from correspondent Bill Zimfer.
In a military parade staged Thursday night in Pyongyang, North Korea displayed what their state news agency called the world's most powerful weapon. The weapon appeared to be a new submarine-launched ballistic missile that had not been seen before. Kim Jong-un was on hand to witness the parade, which marked the end of political meetings in Pyongyang. State media said the parade also served to powerfully demonstrate the might of the Revolutionary Armed Forces. I'm Bill Zimfer.
A new warning from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention this afternoon. They're warning that that mutant UK COVID-19 strain, which is believed to be more infectious, is now on track to become the dominant strain in the United States by March. Fewer than 100 cases have actually been documented in the U.S., but the number is believed to be exponentially higher because of our lack of screening. The CDC warning comes as demand for vaccine surges amid a rollout hampered by limited supply and lack of national coordination. Como News Time 12:20. It's time for our Propel Insurance Business Update from Jim Chesko.
J.P. Morgan Chase reported quarterly earnings and revenue that topped forecasts. Strong trading and investment banking results were among the factors helping the company's bottom line. Despite the better-than-expected numbers, J.P. Morgan shares are down 2%. Meanwhile, shares of Wells Fargo are tumbling 6.75% after the bank reported a quarterly profit that beat expectations for the first time in six quarters, but revenue that fell more than forecast as lower interest rates weighed on net interest income. That's your money now.
Well, the markets have been down today, but at this point, it's not as bad as it has been earlier on. The Dow trading down by 89 points, 0.25%, about a 0.5% loss for both the NASDAQ and the S&P 500. The NASDAQ is down 80 points. The S&P is down 17. We check your money news at 20 and 50 past the hour. A traffic update is next.
Stay safe, Seattle. Social distancing and masks are important, but so is knowledge. Stay connected. Stay informed on all things COVID from Como News 1000, FM 97.7, and on your smart speaker. This is Como News.